A lot of people need to listen to the customer more too, because in your rapport building and just having genuine conversation with homeowners, they're going to tell you what it is that they're looking for or the things that they don't like with their current system. And so if you know what you're selling, you can really tailor a package and then tell them, you know, this takes care of that. You know, the thing that you didn't like here, this is what's going to change, you know, be the difference. And so I think really just listening to your customer and then providing options that make the most sense to what they want is going to make you pretty successful.
This is To The Point. A Rhino Experience. Voted one of the top home services marketing and operations podcasts. Cutting through the bullshit and getting to the point.
What's up, To The Point listeners? It's your boy, Chris. I have got more than one co-host today, which is crazy because I rarely ever have a co-host. Every once in a while, he makes it. And today, he did it. He is the Prince of Christmas. Mr. Chad Peterman himself has made an episode. Chad, it's so good to see you, buddy.
Good to see you too, bud. I'll see you in person tomorrow night. You come into Old Naptown.
That's right.
Welcome you back.
I'm excited to be there. And we have a special guest co-host today as well. We got Travis Rinke back here. One of my dudes decided to come down and bless us with his presence because, whenever I actually officially met our guest in person was at Pantheon earlier this year. And we won't go into any further details there. But it was a great meeting, and Travis knew our guests, and so I was like, you know, Travis is here, come on down, and let's have him chime in on this because it is a kind of a cool story. You have a great background, which is what's going to make the podcast really good. And we're going to treat this like it's your first podcast. I know you did one before, but that was your warm up. This one's going to be a little bit different. And you're actually in a much different spot than the one I listened to when I was prepping for this. But our guest today is Patrick Kelly. He's the president. And listen, there's something that you and I have in common. It's just one letter off.
What's that?
What's the name of your company?
Sano.
Boom. What's my last name?
Yano.
Yano, son of a bitch. Get it right. Come on. Yano. Yeah. So only one letter off.
Yeah, I said it like that because I didn't want to be Sano.
Damn. What's wrong with that? I like Ano better than Ano, just to fail for the record. Okay, so we got Patrick in from Sano, who's out of Anaheim, out in the OC. Hey, by the way, coming to his first Rhino X, Chad, is Patrick. This is going to be a great experience for him. Going to finish this year around the 5 million mark. You know, not too bad for being a few years in business for himself. You know what? One thing that I thought was worth calling out, because I'm going to brag on you for just a second, and if it's not you, take credit for it anyway, because it's your company. But, you know, you guys have been a customer of Rhino's for a few years now, since 21. And your guys' average booking rate for, like, net new business that's coming in is around a 52% versus the industry average at, like, 40, bro. So you're, like, 12% above industry average on that. So whatever the hell you guys are doing and you're with your CSRs or your call answering, well done. That was from the last 6 months. So, like, I pulled a decent month of data for you, running an average cost per lead of $137. So you should be doing good, okay? It appears on paper that you're doing good. You know, if I will go into Service Titan, I don't know what it says there, but I can do that for you now with Roundtrax 2.0. So, but another piece of this that's interesting is your background. So not only was he he's a Marine. Once a Marine, always a Marine. Sergeant, I believe, is what you were. But you also were in, you've done Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu for the longest time. A black belt, right? Mm-hmm. Not to be confused with Chad, who has no belt. What a best.
I have a black belt on currently, but it is not the fighting type. That is for sure.
Genuine leather.
But if it were a game of vests, you'd be the best right now. That's right. So, hey, whenever I was doing a little bit of research, too, I noticed your cauliflower ear. So that made me think, okay, he's either been a wrestler or he's been fighting or whatever. And I looked at a little bit of your history, too, and, you know, not just in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, which you were in a lot of competitions. I think it was you finished second in the Pan American Games. Is that right? Well, how long ago was that?
I think that was 2017.
Okay. Well, the reason I'm sharing this with our listeners is there's a lot of what we're going to talk about. You're probably pulling some of the same processes or things that you put in place or mindset or whatever from some of these time frames, whether it be the military or your fighting experience. We did a podcast way back in the day. This was before Chad's time. You might remember this, Travis, with Jens Pulver, who was the first lightweight champion in UFC. And we did the podcast that was How to Get Punched in the Face and Keep Going. It was a pretty cool episode. That was early on.
That was first or second Rhino X.
First Rhino X, yeah. He came to the old office. That was way different Rhino X back then. But then in MMA, you also, you fought in MMA. I couldn't find any video. I know it's out there, but I was able to see some images.
Show them the knockout video.
I got to see the knockout video. But it looks like I think your record was 5-0 in MMA, but they all amateur except for the one. You have a one and
yeah, so my last fight was a pro fight, and then the four were amateur fights.
In the last fight, you knocked out your opponent in 23 seconds?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. I like it. So so you spent all that time working on conditioning for it to stop in 23 seconds?
Pretty much.
Okay. All right. That's fair. But you know what? One of the most impressive things after all this tough guy stuff we're talking about was that as I was doing my research on you, Patrick, I found something that was quite interesting and maybe the most notable thing yet. And that is that you, or some might call you, I guess I've ever heard of Keeping Up with the Kardashians, right? You've heard that before. But have you ever heard of Keeping Up with the Kellys? Because I saw a beautiful picture of you and your family with your wife and two daughters on the front page of Wrangler Living magazine in 2022. And you looked quite dapper, my friend. Now, that is probably the most notable thing that you've done today because you got to show off your family. It's nothing to do with you. The only downside is I think the magazine's a little misleading because you were not in a pair of Wranglers. So I don't know what the hell this community magazine was, but they missed the mark on that one. But anyhow, you guys looked good on that one. Okay, so let's get into some actual business talk. So hopefully I've given the listeners enough information about who our guest is. And he has built a great business, and he came from some really solid businesses too. So he's kind of but he also didn't have any skill going into the trades to begin with, coming from the military. So if I fuck this up, you can go ahead and call me out on air. But I think I got it right. So as I said earlier, you were a sergeant. So you went to the Marines and you left a sergeant in the Marines. You did two tours, I think, in Fallujah, right, in Iraq?
Yeah.
And then you were honorably discharged in 2009. And then when you came out of the military and back into civilian life, did I hear correctly that you went to the old trusty site called Craigslist to look for a job, which is where Chad typically searches for his babysitters and where Ringy searches for his stock market advice. never mind. I'll let the rest of that go. But you went there, and I think as the story goes, you found an opportunity with a certain huge Southern California HVAC and plumbing company. And it was one of those big, what are they called? The big interview, group interviews. And that group interview happened to be with what company, Patrick?
It was with Service Champions.
Champions, that's right.
In
2009. So I'm just going to tell your story for you, all right? You show up. And there's a huge group of people, I think is what I heard. Maybe I over exaggerated, but there was a big group of people there.
Yeah.
And you show up, clean cut in a suit. Was anybody else in a suit at that interview?
Well, I mean, I wore a suit and tie, and then I was incredibly insecure when I walked into that meeting because I think there was one other guy. Ray Gonzalez, which is the head trainer for the champs group. And then I kind of looked around. I was like, I think this is a waste of time. I thought it was scammy the whole time because, I looked on Craigslist. Even the phone number was all sevens. And so I was like, I'm just going to call to see if it's even a real number. And then the lady answered and she's like, hey, you know, how can I make your day better? And I was like, hey, you know, I saw an ad for that you guys are hiring technicians. You know, I was a technician in the Marine Corps, which was kind of like a stretch, you know. And then she said, hey, can you come Wednesday? So then, you know, I looked at my wife and I was like, hey, I think I have a job interview, you know. But I didn't know that it was 60, 70 people in like a big auditorium training room. And so like just walking in, the odds looked bad. I didn't think I was going to get a job there.
You're a Marine, dude. You were trained better than that. Like that is not, is it weird to look back now and kind of think that, you know, because I'm sure you had to be a confident dude, you know, coming out of the Marines. But maybe it's because where you were coming from was being a gas station attendant. Sorry for the interruption. To the Point listeners, have you heard of Rilla? Are you using Rilla yet? If not, are you for Rilla? See what I did there? Rilla is the leading speech analytics software for the trades. It is on a mission to bring physical ride-alongs to an end. You can coach your reps with virtual ride-alongs now. They're 100 times better, faster, and much more efficient than the physical ones. All you got to do is use the Killa Rilla. That's R-I-L-L-A, Rilla.
Oh, what?
Now, did you not work at a gas station prior?
I did not work at a gas station.
What the fuck was that I listened to? Who? Why did I hear you were at a gas station?
Gas station? No, I didn't work at a gas station. I don't believe
it. Then see.
Oh no! I did.
So now we got
not a gas station. It was a car wash. I was a cashier at a car wash.
Or whatever. Same thing.
So I mean, getting out of the Marine Corps, I think a lot of people don't talk about it, is that you go from being semi-important. You know, I was leading combat patrols on the second deployment as a 21, 22-year-old kid. And then, you know, you EAS, which is the end of active service, and then you literally don't have a job, you know. So I'm living at my wife's mom's house, and like, I'm screwed. I have nothing set up. I think the economy took a dump around that time. So everybody that said, oh, hey, come see me when you get out, I got a job for you, a lot of those people had lost their jobs. And so it just was a really like scary time in my life, to where I couldn't just sit there and take my unemployment check. You know, I live in Southern California and I'm married, you know, and so $400 is not going to help me. And yeah. But no, so yeah, sorry. I did work technically at a gas station, but it was a car wash, an auto spa.
Good. I don't feel as bad now. I was like, damn, I must have really not been.
For a second, I was like, what is he talking about? That's a suppressed memory.
Well, listen, now we got that out of the way. Let's merge back into the Service Champion stuff. So, okay, so ultimately you get hired, because I don't want to go through the whole history of it, but you spent, how long were you at Service Champions roughly?
So I worked there from 2009 to about the end of 2019. But there was like two time periods where I had left for like a month, 2 months.
Prodigal son.
Oh, got it.
I thought the grass was greener.
And then you found out it was artificial.
There was no grass. And so.
It was dirt. Sounds like California. Okay, so like, what was the main job? You were in sales, or what was the job? What were you doing there?
So I think that was the beginning of their program, where they started to hire people outside of the industry and see if they can make them technicians. And so prior to that, they were taking guys out of trade schools, taking guys from other companies. And then this was their, I know that they got way better at it, but this was the first hiring class of their in-house training to technician.
Got it.
Yeah.
So pulling people from outside of the trades and then like literally training them from scratch.
Correct. Yeah. So I had no heating and air experience. I considered myself pretty technical. I knew how to read schematics and, but yeah, no, I didn't know how to work on AC, sell anything with it. And then our training was, you know, I had like a, I still like the guy, but he was like an old retired Navy guy, smoked a pack of cigarettes, you know, a day, and just real slow, didn't sell a lot. And then I kind of learned from him the technical side, but then I still needed money, right? Because I think I was on minimum wage at the time, maybe a little bit more. But the opportunity to make more, I had to do it for myself. So this guy told me, like, hey, they pay us $60 to sell these UV lights. And then I told him, I was like, hey, if I can sell them for you, like, can you give me $20 or $40? And he's like, yeah. You know, and so here's a guy that never sold IAQ. And all of a sudden, there's pages going out every day selling one or two. And it was me. I was like, I needed the cash.
So you were the UV guy.
Yeah.
Now you're the UV goat.
So I started out as a entry-level technician. Eventually, when I got my truck. And then our job pretty much is to do maintenance on mostly stuff that they had already put in. So this is 6 months after Service Champions had installed the equipment. That was my level. So I'm looking for, you know, air scrubbers. I don't think at that time the air scrubbers were out yet, but we were doing UV lights. We were doing the electrostatic filters, and then, you know, looking for ductwork, looking for just things that you can add on. But I don't remember like the surge protectors or any of that stuff back then. I think it was pretty much UV lights, hard starts, you know, and the electric filters.
So you got real good at overcoming that. Why didn't you sell me that? Or why didn't that come with the system? Why didn't?
That was the number one objection. So, I mean, every time they're like, why didn't they? I spent $30,000. Why didn't it come with it? And then I would just literally tell them, like, it was a lot like when you buy a car, you know, it doesn't come with, you know, it comes with the wheels that come from the car or whatever it is. If you wanted leather later on, you can add it. But the reality is that a lot of times we don't know these systems need it until you see how they're running, you know, 6 months later. And I would show them, you know, you see this dust right here. You can be fine. We can clean this every 6 months, or we can add a device that protects your new equipment as well. And so, you know, I think putting the UV lights in the coils, if dust does get there, it will stay clean, you know, a lot longer than a unit that doesn't have one. But that literally was the number one objection. It almost always turned into a customer concern unless you communicated correctly of hey, I'm just recommending it. I'm just trying to help you guys out, you know.
It's like you may have heard that before, Travis.
Yeah. These are system enhancements, not something that come.
Yeah. I think one thing we've done that I think helps in this objection, because we've gotten it too, is just making sure that we offer six options on a new system, and basically it's three, but the other three are that option plus all of the IAQ. Right. So it's like, either take it or you don't. Well, why didn't this come with it? Well, they offered you that. You just didn't go with that option. And then it makes it a little bit easier for the technician, or at least that's the feedback that we've gotten, a little bit easier for the technician to kind of speak through that. Like, oh, well, it looks like right here in your Service Titan file, they gave you all six, but you went with option three and it didn't include all of this stuff, so here's me telling you that you need it.
Chad, on that, or Patrick, on that thought, because I know Patrick's very well versed in sales, I had my guys start separating accessories from systems, because when we are in a head-to-head, you know, competitive bid situation and we've got all these accessories on it and then the competitor doesn't, they just are offering a stripped down system, you know, we look really expensive. And so one thing we started doing is we give the system options and then we give accessory options. So to kind of overcome what you're saying, Chad, is that, hey, we did offer it, but it's also not in the bottom line price, so that we can show that we're competitive, but we also gave you the option.
So you just, great point, split them.
I could see both ways working. I think it really comes down to the communicator in the home, making sure that he's explaining what comes with it. And then if it's an a la carte item, same thing, you know, that package can be added to any level of system as well.
Yeah. We've taken a lot of what we've done from, like, everybody's been online and built a car, mm-hmm. You know, you go on, okay, what engine do you want? What wheels do you want? All of this stuff. And that's kind of how we do it kind of what Travis was saying is like, okay, you've picked your system. You got that. All right, let's pick some accessories. Do you want any of these things? Now let's go to your warranty. Now let's go to your financing package, like just working all the way down. And then they feel like they're in control, right? I want that, but I don't want that. Or can you take that off? What's, how does that reduce the price? So on and so forth. So I think that's huge. And I think, you know, the biggest thing is just offering options. A lot of people still aren't even offering options. And it's like, come on, you're doing yourself a huge disservice here.
Absolutely.
Yeah, can't buy if you don't know about it.
I think a lot of people need to listen to the customer more too, because in your rapport building and just having genuine conversation with homeowners, they're going to tell you what it is that they're looking for or the things that they don't like with their current system. And so if you know what you're selling, you can really tailor a package and then tell them, you know, this takes care of that. You know, the thing that you didn't like here, this is what's going to change, you know, be the difference. And so I think really just listening to your customer and then providing options that make the most sense to what they want is going to make you pretty successful.
So this is a great segue because you were in, I mean, so you basically did sales. Is that what you did for your tenure at the Service Champions?
Well, yeah. So there's levels within Service Champions. And then, you know, I know a lot of guys come out of that company and always talk about, hey, I was the best here, yada, 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 you know, for however long they were there. But, you know, at that time, I was the first guy to get a sales book probably by my sixth or seventh month. And then I had really good like mentors or guys that were coming in my calls. Sean Stevens, just a beast. You know, he was a guy that I was turning leads to. Jim Dotson was a guy that I turned leads to. So I got to see these guys do their sales presentation the whole time, you know, and I'm just watching, studying. And I started to understand that the little small talk wasn't just small talk, that there was always a direction that they were steering these conversations. And that's when I learned, like, okay, always communicate in a way to kind of herd the homeowners to the finish line, I guess you would say.
Yeah. So you're taking them down the path, but through small talk. Whereas when you were first watching it, like the first 6-7 months, learning from some great sales guys, you're learning like these are actual tactics that they're using. It's not just small talk.
Yeah. Yeah. And then I guess most people would just think they're just talking to talk, right? And I thought that at first, but then I started picking up and I started asking questions like, hey, did you really care about like what this was? And they're like, no. It's like the reason I said that or asked that is I'm trying to bring them back to like the point of what I'm trying to tell them. And so it always came up later where I was like, oh, that's why he said that, you know, right. Bringing up allergies, you know, the things that they said about noise, you know, all before they started providing the solution.
Got it. I've always learned better in situations like that, like going and listening and learning and watching from people. I mean, for me anyway. But now you, because I want to segue from this out into you starting your own business. But you won some awards while you were there. What kind of what were the awards that you were winning at Service Champions?
So I won a lot of awards when I was there. And then it depended on, so we were with Airtime 500, and then I think it changed to Success Group. Yeah, the Success Group, those things, they get monthly awards, they did annual awards, you know, and it's like we always went to their end of the year ceremony where they passed out the rings. The little awards that I won, they're not little, but early on, it was the most IAQ sold or highest club memberships. Then later, it was the most ductwork sold, you know, in a given period. And then once I became a senior tech or a selling tech, I mean, there was 15 other guys that were really, really good, right? And then I think what drives me is competition, right? I put in the work and then I look for the result. And so nothing better than to be next to 15 guys that were just as good as me. And it really came down to every day, every call is going to matter. So when that report comes out, the total of what you sold comes out, like you couldn't let off at all because, you know, this guy's not letting off, that guy's not letting off. And so it was the consistency in treating every call like, you know, this is the time. I'm not going to get this time back. I have to do something with this. Then I started winning monthly sales awards. You know, I think at the time, these were pretty big numbers, like 2011. You know, I was breaking into the 300 and 400,000 range. And these were mostly calls where they're tune-ups and repairs. And so it's like, let's not get it confused with leads that are set that I'm closing over the phone. Like this is physical calls that I had to open up the equipment and take the customer from thinking the tune-up for $69 or $77 is going to fix their system. So, you know, I was averaging 2.5 calls a day, I think is what it was. So some days three, some days two, you know, so I didn't have hundreds of leads that I was able to convert. It was the call that I got for the day, the two or three, and then I had to make the number off those.
Got it. But you weren't actually, so you never did like straight installation. You were always on that, but always on the sales side.
No, I didn't do install until I started my company. And then I actually installed for a year, and it is brutal.
Great. Can't wait to get to that part.
Brutal.
Boys, chime in whenever you need to, but I'm trying to get us to that point. And so you did eventually leave Service Champions, and you went to, and we'll kind of spend just a minute on this, and then you went to work with Absolute Air, right? Is that right? Was that the transition?
So, Victor, long story short, I just knew that I didn't want to be a selling tech for the rest of my life, right? And then internally, based off my age, I just knew I had to do something, but I didn't know what I wanted to do, right? I knew I had to get into management. I had to learn how the business works internally, the marketing side, you know, all of that stuff. And I'm still learning that today. So I struggled mentally of like, you know, I'm not going to become a manager at Service Champions because I'm about 10 years behind, you know, 15 other guys that the likeliness of me surpassing those guys to take management positions, I didn't think it was realistic, right? And then Leland always held seniority. Like seniority was very important. You know, whoever got there first, you know, usually had the path, right? If they met all the other things that they were looking for. So, you know, I was like, do I wait till these guys retire? And then keep in mind, I didn't know that the company was going to sell, or I just assumed it would always be owned by Leland, you know, ran by Leland. And so Victor jokingly told me, you know, one day I'm going to make you my GM. You know, keep in mind, I don't want to be a GM, but I do understand HVAC. And so him and I ran his shop, I think from his, I think it was his third year or second year. And it was wild. You know, I think we had gone from 2 to 9 million. Just crazy.
So you went from sales to being a GM.
Yeah.
How was your management skills? Because usually sales and management are pretty.
So I basically really just leaned on, I think I was more of a sales manager, right? Because I didn't know what a GM was supposed to do. Victor didn't know what a GM was supposed to do. So, you know, one of our biggest struggles over there was the metrics that we needed to know. The one thing between Victor and I that we did know is how to sell. So we sold the heck out of calls. You know, I would go out with the guys. We ran a pretty solid sales team, and then the money was there. You know, it's obviously we're doing installations. The money's there. It's just a lot of the back end stuff that I personally I struggled with.
Got it. Okay. So I'm going to scooch past this a little bit. So you came from this heavy sales experience. Now you're starting to learn a bit of management. Mm-hmm. We'll call it management. All right. And now you're like, okay, I think maybe I want to go do my own thing. Because when you are like, I think there's a natural path for people who are really great at sales. When you're eventually like, I can sell and do this for myself. I seem to find the right people to do it, which is probably how a lot of companies are like, you know, companies are starting anyway. Is the sales guy leaves and goes start his own business, which is what you did. And you start now. So how long? Well, first off, how long were you at Absolute? Like how long? What was the time frame there?
I want to say it was a year right into the start of COVID. And so that's where things started getting really weird. you know, the news was always on and people were freaking out. You know, we had sent everybody home for 2 weeks. Then we decided to bring them back. You know, we just had no idea what was happening in the world, because that was, you know, there's this disease that's going to kill everybody that's coming. And so, yeah, we didn't know what to do. And then that was kind of the time where Victor, you know, kind of pulled me to the side and he said, hey, you know, I can't pay you anymore. And then I just, you know, I said, all right, you know. I mean, so, it, I mean, that's how I still talk to him today, but I always laugh at that. I was like, well, all right, buddy.
Well, you could say thank you. Okay. Yes. You could say thank you. So, and so then, and then you start, you know, you start your own company and it's Sano.
So right after that, I actually worked for Ken Goodrich, Ken and Landon at Gettle for about, yeah, for about 9 months. I'd called Landon and I said, hey, Victor, I'm not with Victor anymore. They flew me out to Phoenix the next day. And then I had done my interview over there. I met Dale, you know, Darren, Ken, and then I toured the facility, everything. And then pretty much I started, I was the sales manager in Corona. And just the same thing through COVID, just really weird. You know, I don't think I got to represent myself very well in that organization. But just the one thing, a really, really good company, just very, very different, if that makes sense. So it's like you look at Leland's style, you look at Ken's style, and they have found two very different ways to both be extremely successful.
Yeah, it's good for you that you actually got to get a couple different views at how to grow successful businesses.
And so from there is when I started my company.
So I want to jump in here because I met Patrick, you know, he's an early adopter and supporter of Nuve. So thank you for that. But I was in Anaheim and Ishmael said, hey, we're going golfing with this guy, Patrick. He's awesome. You're going to love him. He's got this great company he's building. You know, he's a good buddy of mine. And I said, okay, you know, I've got no idea what I'm walking into. And, you know, for the next, I don't know, 6 hours, I had tears come out of my eyes. We were laughing so hard and had a great time. But the thing I want to talk about with you, Patrick, that really impressed me, and I want to go back to what Chris said is, you know, he said a lot of guys, you know, are doing sales and then they start their own company. But the other 50%, I'd say that's half of it. The other 50% are technicians that are in the field that don't have the sales experience. That, you know, they're going to go out and they're going to do good by all these customers and they're going to be cheaper than their boss and they're going to just take over the market. And the thing that really impressed me is that, A, on a weekday you were golfing after starting a company 3 years ago, and then you proceeded to tell me you golf every day, which I was extremely jealous of. So I took a mental note of that. I'm like, how's this guy golfing so much with a new company? And then, you know, how is he doing so well with his procedures and his sales? And one of the things that you said to me that you benefited from, you know, working with organizations like Service Champions is that you weren't price conscious and conditioned at those, like you didn't go to market with, I'm going to be the cheapest. You went to market with, I'm going to be the best. And I think that's a crucial point for any listeners that might be technicians that want to go in the field is that's the way you're doing it. And it shows by your success is the right way to do it. Is that you seem to have a very balanced life. You've got your wife and daughters. You spend a lot of time with, you have the ability to enjoy your personal life outside of work, but you also work hard, you know, very hard throughout the day too. So can you speak to that and how that benefited you?
Yeah. So to go back to the golf, I golf for like 2 hours a day. And then that's usually before work or after work, but it's the same time slot that I was training jiu-jitsu in. So I backed off the jiu-jitsu for a little bit. Golf has me like super intrigued, but oh my God, it is such a hard thing to do. But so we struggled a lot. So the first year, the goal was to just get as much business as we could, right? And so we kind of got caught up in just undercutting everybody and doing all this work. And then at the end of the day, you would look at the numbers and it's like, how can we do installs every single day? And we're barely making money, right? It's like we would have months, our first year where we would do, you know, close to 200,000. And when I dig into the financials, everything, I'm like, wow, we're not making anywhere near 200 grand, right? Because when you're done paying for the equipment, the labor, I mean, everything, that there's very little left over. And in the back of my head, Leland had always said, always be the most expensive. He prided himself on being the most expensive. But with that, you had to provide the best service, the best installs, you know, because it's not good if you're just expensive, but you suck, right? And so after the first year, I just checked myself and I said, hey, you know, you came from selling the most expensive systems in the area. And why are you now just fighting to get jobs? And so we tightened down, we raised our prices, you know, and then we started making money with less work. And so we were doing less installs, but then making a lot more money. And then that was allowing us to buy more trucks, to get more people over here, to start setting this place up like a real company, right? And so I do believe that we have some of the best like installs in the area. And for that, I should be paid well to do this kind of work. You know, we see all the stuff that's happening out there with the companies that do their installations, you know, customers calling us that they won't call them back. The ceiling dropped out because the drains weren't done right. So we see this stuff and we don't have those problems. And so that was one thing that I think was crucial to where we are today, is that I changed my mindset to go back to not just looking to do as much work, but to do quality work that's good for the customer and good for us as a business.
So where I actually was making a note when you were talking, changing pricing is one thing, but there's that, now that you change the price and you're like, oh, we're doing less work, we're making more money. And then my brain shifts back to, well, how can we do more and make more money?
Of course. Yeah.
When does that kick in and what do you start implementing at that phase?
So that was like a small sample, right? It just showed like we did less number of installs in 1 month compared to this month with similar top line revenue. But then you look at the net income and it was totally different. And so that's the next step, is that, okay, how do we just do more work at the right price? And then we should make more money, right? And then, yeah, so that's where we started increasing the marketing. I've been with Rhino since day one, right? You guys were the original ones to build the website, everything. And then, you know, I started talking to our rep over there on how we can start expanding, increasing the call volume. Then I started adding other things, Yelp, like those Wrangler magazines. I'm in all those magazines in our coverage area, to where I'm like the expert contributor just to keep people seeing us every month. And it's we started doing a lot more work, doing better with the calls and converting more, if that makes sense. And so there's been a shift too, is that I used to run all the no charge estimates, everything. Most of that stuff is handled by my guys now. So I go out in the field if it's someone that's requesting me or stuff like that. But for the most part, I'm in here right now. We're building all our processes, tweaking some of the stuff, and then we're onboarding with Service Titan right now. And so I'm pretty excited for that to get the reporting that Service Titan offers.
In home services, speed to lead is everything. Chirp stands out by transforming your communication strategy. With Chirp, accelerate your lead response time with instant SMS text messaging, email, and ringless voicemail automation. Chirp's cutting-edge technology ensures you're the first and the most persistent, helping you close more deals than ever. But that's not all. Say goodbye to missed opportunities with Chirp's incredible follow-up system. Keep your leads engaged and moving smoothly through your sales funnel without lifting a finger. And with Chirp deep integrations with top CRMs like ServiceTitan, HouseCall Pro, and Jobber, you can launch laser-targeted campaigns to connect with the exact right leads at the exact right time. Automation creates efficiency. Efficiency unlocks scalability. With Chirp, you can automate speed to lead, estimate follow-ups, rehash, abandoned call follow-ups, canceled job follow-ups, review requests, outbounding to your list, annual reminders, membership expiration follow-ups, and so much more. So stop chasing leads. Capture them. Connect faster and close more deals with Chirp. Contact Chirp today and elevate your communication game. Do you guys have anything you want to say before I jump to this next topic?
Jump to your next topic. I've got something, but I'm following along here.
Okay. I just, you know, you're in a incredibly competitive market with a lot of massive players, with very shitty weather in regards to a HVAC contractor life. Beautiful for the homeowners. But, like, you know, one, I appreciate you being a customer since day one. That is not Rhino protocol for those who are listening. We typically don't like to be your very first marketing company. But in this instance, it worked out okay. So grateful for that. But you started to adopt marketing and do more natural progression of, I think, most businesses. And to hit a 5 million mark, you know, is a mark you should be proud of. But you're in a hard market, man. And as you scale and grow that thing, like it doesn't get easier. It gets harder. And I think that what I'm curious to know is, like, where's because you've said a few times around, like, changing your mindset, which is like the trigger to whatever it is that you're doing next. You are in an incredibly competitive market. That's not going to change with, you know, hard weather patterns and a lot of competition. And let's from a marketing perspective, you know, like, search volume is down, you know, and not gone. It's just down.
Yeah.
But, you know, the horizon looks good because the presidential debate is over. We could all move forward. But, like, what are you doing, man, to stay competitive in that market? Because it's not just about, like, you can't outspend these people, right? You can't outspend some of these companies. Yeah. So that's not the game. And I do love what you said about, you know, like the Wrangler magazine thing and focusing on. I know that Travis did that a lot, you know, because where his business was at and where I live is the same community. So I would see those guys everywhere. I mean, they owned that community, which is a great strategy. And if anybody says, hey, who do you use? It was always ProSkill. And so I assume that's, you know, the same thing that you're doing. And you can't drive through the state of Indiana without seeing Chad anywhere or hear them on the radio or see their trucks or whatever. But, like, what is it that you're doing to stay competitive in that market at the size that you are?
So it, once again, it's a mindset thing, right? If you realistically sat there and said, oh, I'm going to take Service Champions down, I'm going to take Next Gen down, like, it's not realistic, right? Because Apex owns a bunch of the big companies out here. They've made a big group. You know, you have the Service Champions, you have Next Gen. Next Gen is literally two blocks away from me. So it's they're right down the street. But we stay in our own lane. I think we offer something very different from what they offer. You know, we get very personal with our clients. We really listen. We really take care of them. And we do good work. And so there's enough homes in our coverage area where, you know, if you run a good company, everybody here can be successful, right? And then the beauty of having these big competitors around me, it also justifies or legitimizes my pricing, right? Because the consumer doesn't know that you know, just because I don't have 200 employees doesn't mean that we don't do good work, right? If they get a bid from Next Gen, they get a bid from Service Champions, and then they see my pricing, they're like, okay, we got three companies that are right in the same vicinity, you know. But it's like, I personally believe that once these companies are picked up, that they are not companies that typically get better, per se. Maybe I'm wrong, but that leaves an opening for me to emerge as a privately owned, very well-ran company, right? A lot of employees become available when these companies get purchased, you know, so the access to great people is there. You know, and then that's what we're doing. We're running our own little race against ourselves. We don't really worry too much about, you know, who's out there or what they're doing. If we take care of our customers and continue to just do good work, you know, stand behind the problems that we have in the homes, you know, immediately, then we'll always be good for the consumer.
Yeah. Patrick, as you, I mean, obviously we're a couple of weeks from 2025. Mm-hmm. What, you know, where you're at now, what are some of the things that you're thinking or trying to solve for to get to that next level, wherever that may be for you?
So I think pretty much we're going to increase our ad spend. I got two trucks being wrapped right now. So I just added two more trucks to the fleet. We've been kind of winging since day one till now. You know, we didn't have great reporting with the CRM that we're on. We've struggled to generate the reports and everything like that. But it's like with the addition of my GM who's here now, you know, we're getting a lot of stuff done. So he brings a lot of skills to the table that I didn't have before. So, you know, just general tracking for the guys to see their performance against the others, everything. We got a really good tracking system now to where we're tracking the memberships, we're tracking their revenue per lead, their conversion rates, all of that stuff is here now. And so we're finally going to go into a year with data that allows us to drive this business, as to where before it's just, you know, we get what we get and to do the best with it. So I'm really excited for next year.
Yeah, I think you're ahead of the curve there for sure, at your size, to have reporting and all of that stuff, which I think is really powerful for technicians, and then obviously powerful for you as a business owner to know what in the hell's going on.
So we ran a tech tracker for the first 30 days. We just completed it, and we had a 14% increase across the board just in our maintenance, memberships, everything. And that's a 14% increase from January of 21 to October of 24. And so just that alone, some of these guys have sold more maintenance programs than they have year to date in 1 month. And all that did is a tracker to where they could see what we're focusing on, and this is our target to hit, you know, and it changed a lot.
Yeah, I love that at your size that you hired a GM. You see so many people, you know, Tommy eats that dead horse of like hiring for your insufficiencies. And a lot of people talk about it, but so few people do it. And, you know, I think about a good friend, Matt Pistoian at AC Plus, who I hammer on constantly to hire a GM because he's just running himself ragged. And
I talk to Matt daily. I like him a lot.
He's the best, man. But I just love that you're investing in that, and being priced right enables you to do that and hire those people, because it's so few people do that. They try to run that GM and ops and sales manager position so long that they don't have time to actually steer the business. And I think that's a great investment at your side.
That actually, you are the one that like finally pushed me. So I was at like 95% that I knew I needed it. I knew I wanted one. And then, you know, when I had a little sidebar conversation with you, you were telling me that I'm kind of right at the size to where now is when I want to start building a solid management team around me. And that's what's going to help me get to where I'm trying to go. And so like you're the one that I was like, you know what, Travis told me that's like the 5% I needed to just let's make it happen.
Well, at least I'm consistent.
Well, they're just full of shit. Just to sound, so say something. Well, good for you. It's exciting. One, I'm excited you're going to add more to your spin. So thank you in advance. Unless it's paper quick, then never mind. But the, you know, I think that, you know, it is cool to, one, I've heard so many of these stories over all the years, you know, because it's been, you know, 17 years for me working in trades and seeing all these different, you know, ways that people built businesses and heard different stories. I just think that you did exactly what we all preach, and that is like, don't try and reinvent the wheel. Like, listen to those who've done it in current day state and like do the things. It's like Chavel always say when he was a next star, he didn't try to, he heard what they did and he did that thing and then focused on that thing. And I think one thing that you're doing well that others that are making a mistake on are there's a lot of shiny objects right now and you're not focused on all the shiny objects. You know, it doesn't seem, and cause that can also be a distraction in growing the business, but man, it's probably, you know, I love that you called out that you were golfing for 2 hours, which replaced your jiu-jitsu workout in the morning. So that way everybody knew that you're still working. because we don't want them to hear that you like you could golf through the.
No, don't be misled that you could just not be at work. You have to be at work.
But you know, you are trying to hire somebody who can fill that the things that you are not good at. Some point you have to, because you can only stretch yourself so thin that you're doing going a mile wide and inch deep is no good for growth. But so hiring a GM, great, good for you. Now you can kind of get back to focusing on where you can drive the business from, from the top, looking at other things and kind of, like you said, stepping in when you need to step in on certain things. But eventually that won't be you anymore.
Okay.
It'll be someone else, whoever you're bringing up with you to be that, sales manager, whatever it is.
Right. I think understanding your strengths and weaknesses is that, I don't think it would be smart to hire a guy just like me, right? And having two of us here, like, it would be cool to hang out with a guy like that. But when it comes to business, I needed somebody that was the opposite of me, right? Maybe not as much of a people person, not as much of a sales guy, but somebody that's a little more reserved, analytically more sound, more in tune with numbers. And that's what I have now. And so it's we combine our strengths to make one big, strong management team. And so I'm very, very excited for what we're going to be doing soon.
Yeah, for sure. I'm excited to watch it. And I'm curious to know, when you hired your GM or any positions that you're looking at, are you asking someone about compensation plans and things like that? So that way you're not trying to figure your own shit out. Like, you're asking people and hey, what's a good comp plan for?
Well, yeah, of course. I talked to you guys, your friends, Ishmael, everybody. And you have to gauge the market on, you offer a stud, a 50% decrease of where they're currently at, that conversation's not going anywhere. Right. But they also have to understand that if they're coming from a big organization into a smaller one, this is a role that we're going to grow into. Right. And so I can't afford to pay, the same. But then when we look at everybody's pay plans and what they are, we pay really good for even being a small shop. The installers, the techs, I think we probably have some of the best pay plans out of all the companies that we were talking about.
Good. You should feel good about your pay plan.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's important.
So a lot has changed, as a tech, as a sales guy, it's all about what I could do, what I could provide for my family. And, I'm finding a lot of joy in seeing my employees succeed and improve their lives. A lot of these guys are having children, they're getting ready to buy homes, and that's the real win in my book,
Yeah, I think that's such a great point. And I think it's something that gets lost, and what we try to convey to our managers is that your success is only bred through their success. And it's your job to support them and find out what their scoreboards are. Because, an individual contributor, their scoreboard may not be the company hitting budget. Like, yes, in the background, yes, it is good that the company hits budget and all of this stuff. But like, just constantly beating that over their head is like, what's in it for them? It's more so, hey, let me show you how you can make more money and put more money in your pocket. As a result, the company will hit budget if more of you guys put more money in your pockets. But I think that's just such a critical piece of management that oftentimes gets lost, that it looks like that you've kind of hit the nail on the head with the trackers and finding people who are good at the things that you maybe are not so good at, or whatever it may be. I just think that's an important point for people to take into consideration, is the people that are doing all the hard work, that are out there doing it, are you showing them how they can win? Winning is not getting paid on Friday. That's kind of expected. It's more so, hey, where are all the other opportunities that you can make more money and, buy the boat or buy the new house or whatever it is that you guys as a family have on your scoreboard?
It's fun. It's fun to see. We have such a good team vibe here, compared to any place I've ever worked. I've never seen so many people willing to help other departments and just work as a group. And so, coming to work every day is pretty fun.
God, I loved that time. Like, it was a different time. I mean, I think it just changes. Like, it doesn't go away, because that's you as a human being, and you like that feeling, and I do too. it just, but it, you know, as it scales and gets bigger, it does change. Like I can't have, you know, goal setting meetings with 300 people.
Yeah.
You know, like, and it's so, but it changed, but the feeling doesn't go away. It's the same thing. Like I love hearing all the great stories that happen from staff, you know, today, but to Chad's point, yeah, it's not there that what motivates them is not hitting your budget.
No, never.
Gets less, oh, and I think, less intimate.
I think,
yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think it doesn't go away. It just becomes harder to manage. And so I think that's a critical piece as people are growing their companies. You know, how do we keep the culture? It's going to morph. It's going to change over time. But how do I keep this? You know, what are the common things that today we want present, you know, when we're quadruple the size? And then how do I as a leader engage with people on the same or attempt to on the same level as when we had 20 people and now we have 500? You know, what does that look like? You know, one of the things that, you know, I've really done is just trying to stay in contact. So like every Monday, I get a list of all the birthdays for that week. Yep. And I text people on their birthday and say, hey, happy birthday. We give employees, they get a PTO day on their birthday. So they're usually off, but I'll shoot them a text and just happy birthday. Enjoy your day off. Do something fun. Happy to have you here. And it's just like the little things like that, I think, are to me the thing that have helped us kind of keep that vibe is just, hey, it's my job as the leader to drive the culture forward. And then we have all these other people in place that are, you know, doing the blocking and tackling and making sure everything's done. But making sure that that is at the forefront, I think, is important as you grow because it can change really quickly. And then all of a sudden it changes and you're like, oh, shit, I don't want this. We want what it used to be. And it's like, it can be. It's just going to be a little bit different.
Yeah. One of the things that my good buddy Texas Medley always says that I always really took to heart is he says that if you're not intentional about building your culture of what you want it to be, your culture will build itself and you may not like it. And so he focuses a lot on that culture and that family feeling inside his company. Even as he's scaling up, he maintains that culture. So I think that's something special you're building there, Patrick, and some you're.
And I always want it to be, you know, where it's enjoyable to be here, you know? And so it's, I mean, I like being close to people. I like celebrating with people. That's really all I want is everybody to win together. You know, we can cry together too if we lose and stuff.
I think what you just said is exactly what I was thinking. It's a lot more fun to win together than to win alone. And you certainly are a competitor. So like, that is the fun, man, because it's like the endorphins, that thing hits off when you hit something. But when you miss, it's like, what's the lesson I learned to miss? I mean, that's the journey. Like that's what we're living.
It's like my, everything I've done competitive wise was always to be the best. And then as I get older, you know, the new competition is, you know, to provide the best stuff for these guys, but how do we as a group, you know, beat everybody else, you know, cause it's, I've never done anything to try to be second place, you know, and I'm willing to put in the work.
And that leads back to your history, right? Like these are all the things that you kind of built into your autopilot of just how you go about things. And then you lead from that space naturally because that's who you are and what you believe in. And it's not like some, you know, fake, you know, leadership style that you have. It's who you are. And people can buy into that because they see that that's how, like they see that you do what you say.
Yeah.
You know, and there's so much, you know, power in that. And I think that that's actually an absolute superpower for you to have. You can be a good technician and you can want to install the best, you know, and do the best installation. It looks the cleanest or whatever, but that's what it is. It's an installation. It's how do you keep driving more of these? Like maybe if you're an installer, you don't know how to do that. I'm not saying all installers. I'm just saying in general, but what you have is a superpower. And that's like one, you're kind of willing to put in all the work it takes and like to grind through the hard shit and to get punched in the face and keep going.
I think it's a curse, but I mean, I'd rather have it this way. But I do some days wish that I was just a chill guy that, you know, like mine is like, it goes so fast, you know? And so, you know, whether that's caused by combat stress and then my addiction became, you know, just exhaustion, you know, I don't know, you know, but that is who I am. Like, good things take a lot of work. You got to put in the work.
Yeah, man. We talk about, you know, everything's hard. You just got to choose which hard, you know, which hard you want to, you know, go, which path you want to go down, which, you know, it's hard to, you know, not have shit and to not accomplish things. And it's hard to accomplish things. Like, I'll take the latter.
Yeah.
So, dude, we're an hour into this thing, flew by. literally at the time that I wanted to stop, just passed. So I'll apologize already to you guys, but I appreciate you, Trav, coming down into the studio and hanging out with me. And then, Chad, I appreciate you actually making the show. So that's
the one thing, real quick, with the Nuve thermostats. We're putting these on every install, and we love these things. The customers think they're the coolest things in the world, you know. And then we're a maintenance company at core, so the memberships and the thermostats, they tie right in. It's the same thing, and so we love the product that you guys are making.
Thank you very much, Patrick. And I'll be out there in 2 weeks, so maybe you could take a full day of golf.
I mean, there's some beautiful waterfront courses out here, and if you want to enjoy a little raise in temperature, Chad, get your butt out here.
I could use that for sure.
Well, Patrick, congrats, man, on what you're building. I know you have, you know, you still got, you're still on the climb up the mountain, yeah. But, you know, enjoy the climb. It's fun. You're doing a great job of it. And I'm excited to watch your journey. I know these guys are too. And of course, we'll, you know, always be here, you know, along the way. And, you know, it's just, it's always cool to hear a story like this. Like, you know, this is an American dream type of thing. Like, you get to be your own entrepreneur, build your own business, and change people's lives within your own company, which is pretty badass, including yourself, by the way. And you get to do it with two daughters watching you build a business, right? And that's pretty cool. I got four kids, and they've all seen the ups and the downs.
I see your wife's posts every day, and I was like, you have a pretty wide range from your oldest to youngest, right?
Who's in the Air Force. And I have nine. She'll be 10. And like, actually, by the time this podcast airs, she is 10. So yeah,
you'd skip Berkeley.
Yeah.
I said I got 24 to 10. Okay.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah. It's 24 to 10. Three girls, one boy. But point is, they saw us build this business together, you know, because my wife and I are both in the business, and they got to see the hard stuff and hear the hard stuff and also the outcome of the hard work. And I think that's the unspoken thing that that your kids will see from you, you know, especially as they're getting older. So I'm excited to watch the journey. I appreciate you giving us the time today. I know I had to change the time on you a couple of times. I think, or maybe just once, I don't know, who knows the episode, but hopefully you guys have a great, Christmas. I think this airs right before Christmas, right? No, after Christmas. I hope you had a great Christmas, everybody. Listen, I will say, I will finish with just this. Not only thank you for your time, but man, thanks for your service. I have so much respect for, anyone in the military. Obviously, like I said, my daughter graduated college and then went to the Air Force. So maybe we should kind of flip that a little bit, but she didn't know what she wanted to do. So she went to the Air Force, and I respect that.
That's a better path. Is she going in as an officer?
And she's going into intelligence. So right now she's in like a full Russian immersion program where she's just speaking Russian, learning Russian. So I didn't even like hardly ever even talk to her. Honestly, it's like, it's pretty crazy, pretty intense.
Yeah, that's she'll have a good time.
Well, I mean, this is the first Thanksgiving I didn't get to see her. So that was a little bit weird. But you know, anyway, point being is, you know, it's, you know, going and serving, in the military, I think is exceptional. And, you know, my father was in the military as well. I went to college, which was the easier path. And you went and did two tours in Fallujah, Iraq. I mean,
well, so I had gotten to college on a wrestling scholarship, and, man, I butchered that thing. I lost everything so fast. And so, well, the Marine Corps was a fallback. You know, I became fifth generation on the Kelly side, but I'm glad I did it.
I'm sure you are glad you did it, because it probably shaped a lot of who you are today. The discipline alone, you know, is a big deal. So, well, listen, I'm excited to see you and Arlette at, she's coming with you, right, to Rhino X?
Yeah.
Cool. Excited to see you guys both there. I'm excited for you just to have the experience of it, because it'll be a little bit different than you've had before, but And excited to what you do in 2025. So, boys, I appreciate you guys coming on. And Patrick, again, thanks for your time. And to all the listeners, listen, this is a great story. Like, this is a great example. There's probably a lot of you that are sitting in that sub 5 million position right now that this should be very encouraging to you. That wasn't like he had something special. It's just that he had a little discipline and he wasn't afraid to, you know, ask questions and communicate. And he takes the time to listen to the podcast and learn things. So whichever way you want to learn, you know, you don't have to do everything, but you got to do something. No 0 days.